Aren't you glad to be in the house of God today? Amen. And I already see students coming in and getting set up and getting ready for the new school year. And kids have gone back to school. And so we're getting ready for another year. Around here, we sort of operate from September to September because of the school, you know. But it's good to see everybody here today. And I'm going to talk about having victory over trouble. You know, somebody said there's two things in the world that you're going to encounter. And one of them is paying taxes and dying. Well, there's a third thing that you're going to encounter sometime in your life, and that's trouble. You know, Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The International says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In these verses, we can see that each day has problems, challenges, difficulties. Now, I'm not talking about a lifestyle of trouble, but if you're breathing God's oxygen, you're gonna encounter some difficulties and some trouble. Someone said, well, man, that's not very positive. Well, the positive part of it is God has instructed us how to live over troubles, have a victorious life. How has he done this? By the knowledge from the Word of God that tells us how to handle trouble when it comes knocking at our door. Now, the first thing we need to know about this is the fact that it's not God that's allowing this to happen. Some people blame God for anytime there's something going on, they blame God. Well, what, and they say God's in control of everything. Well, he's not. Actually, the devil has control of this earth. Adam gave that to him when he sinned in the Garden of Eden. In fact, Paul says it in there in 2 Corinthians 4:4. He says that the devil is the god of this world. You know, now, I want to share with you some things that I think that might help you, or not might, it will help you to live over trouble when it comes. You know, we know that the devil's one that brings trouble. John 10:10 tells us that. Jesus tells us the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil is the thief. He's the one that's causing havoc and chaos and tragedy and trials and all kinds of trouble in your life. He may not come at you directly. You know, a lot of people don't realize it. But sometimes he works through other people, circumstances, situation. Anytime that you encounter trouble, he's behind the scenes. Whether you see him directly or not, he is indirectly behind any trouble that comes your way. So you need to know that, because when you don't know some things, then you have problems living a victorious life. You have a problem receiving. You know, somebody could leave you some money, but if you don't know about it, you can't take advantage of it. Hello. Now, I'm going to say something here that some people don't like, but that is, sometimes we cause our own problem. Now, we don't like to admit that, but it's the truth. We had a president by the name of Theodore Roosevelt. He was president during my early lifetime. I was born in 39, and he was the president during World War II. He made a statement one time that's sort of interesting, but it's probably more true than you realize. He said, if you kick the person in the seat of the pants responsible for most of your troubles, you wouldn't sit down for a month. There's probably a lot of truth in that statement. You know, now some people think every time they encounter some kind of difficulty, some kind of problem, oh, I've missed it. I've sinned somewhere, or somebody else will tell if you're having trouble saying, oh, you must have sinned. That's not necessarily true. It could be, but most of the time it's not. Because the enemy is attacking you because he hates God and anything to do with God. Sometimes we have trouble just because we live in a corrupt, decaying world. Hello. John 16:33 says, these things, this is Jesus talking, I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Now, I like what the voice says. I have told you these things so that you will be whole and at peace in this world. You will be plagued with times of trouble, but you need not fear. I have triumphed over this corrupt world order. Now, I said, you might just get a hold of that and say, hey, listen. I'm on the winning side. I don't care what it looks like, feels like, or anything else. I am going to come out of this victoriously. You know, sin, sickness, poverty, fear, and all the other things, that bad things you want to throw in there, they are part of this corrupt world because the devil is in charge of this world that we live in. And his desire is to destroy everything or anything that has to do with God. And the Bible says that God created the heavens and earth, so he doesn't even like the earth. Come on. Because God created it. He doesn't like anything that has the word God in it at all. And we might as well get used to this. But then we need to get a hold of the last part of this scripture, which says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. If you're in Christ, you're an overcomer. Point at your neighbor and say, hey, you're an overcomer. Jesus triumphed over Satan with his redemptive work at Calvary. Therefore, victory is ours. Say it with me, victory is mine. I don't have to have trouble. It may come, but it doesn't have to stay. You know, you can live with it if you want to, but you don't have to. You can live with trouble and still be a Christian. Hello. I remember one time, I think it's about 1957. Dad was preaching at a Four Square church in Pomona, California, I remember. And he used to have the people walk across the stage and he'd pray for them. Well, this lady come hobbling up there with a little cane, and she was standing this way and he was standing facing her, and he said, "What do you need, sister?" And she said, "Hey, what do you need, sister?" "Well, what?" And he said, "I see it. You have trouble with your ears." "Yeah, my ears. I can't hear." So he prayed for her, and then he got around behind her and was whispering, and she could hear him. And she said, "Praise the Lord," and started hobbling off of the stage. He said, "Well, wait a minute. Don't you need something else? You got a cane?" And she said, "Oh, yeah, I got this old arthritis, but I can live with it. But I couldn't live without not hearing." Hello? I think you get what I'm trying to tell you. There are some people that are that way with all the junk that's coming into their lives. They say, "Well, I can live with this, but I can't get along otherwise." Listen, we don't have to live with any of it. Hello? Trouble will come, but if we're ready for it, we can rectify the situation. You know, if you drive a car, if you do not pull preventive maintenance, you're going to have trouble with that car. And even if you have preventive maintenance, you might have trouble with the car. But if you know this already, you can do some things to overcome it. Now, you know, take tires, for instance. If you continually run a tire at low pressure, it will eventually affect that tire's ability to perform properly. Am I right or wrong? Yeah. When you could have done something about it by just putting some air in the tire. You know, nowadays, people don't do it very often, but when I was, you know, in a freshman in junior high, ninth grade, junior high, Garland Junior High School, when I went to school, it was grade school, junior high school, and then high school. And junior high was 6, 7, or 7, 8, and 9. Anybody go there? I got some friends in the house. And I worked at Uncle Dub, I was Uncle Dub mobile gas station. And back in those days, when a car pulled up on that driveway and you went out and asked them what they wanted, they said, "Well, fill it up," or 5 gallons, or whatever they would say. But you not only put fuel in the car, you raised the hood and you checked the oil and you checked the air in the tires, you washed the windshield, you washed the rear window, you washed the outside mirror. Anybody remember that? That don't happen anymore. And you see people driving with low tires a lot of times because they're not doing anything about it. What I'm trying to tell you is you can do things ahead of time that will make sure that you don't live with trouble. Now let's go to Matthew 7:24. Matthew 7:24. And my sign's not on. It has my time on it there. I don't know what happened to it. I'll have to watch my watch. I usually have a sign right back there. It has my I can look at it and see what time it is. Make sure I don't go too long. Okay? "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them." Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And when the rain descended and the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, it fell, and great was its fall. Now I want you to notice that trouble, the same trouble came to both of these. But one of them prepared properly, the other one did not. You see, the one that did not prepare properly is like the man, is like a person that doesn't do the word, is not a doer of the word. And that house is not built on a good foundation, and it'll fall. The person who prepared by being a doer of the word prevailed over trouble that came, and he is likened to a house that's built on the rock. Hello. That's very simple. He plainly says, whoever hears these sayings of mine, that's the word of God, and does them. It's one thing to hear, but it's another thing to do something about it. Hello. You know, this building sits on a really good, solid foundation. Because this soil in this part of the city, in fact, all of that soil all over there, in fact, we're having problems with the student housing because of all the houses back behind there have all had foundation problems. Because the ground here is not stable unless you prepare it properly. You've heard me say this, but they dug out 3 feet of soil and dumped it out here, and we had something they called Hagen's Mountain. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Y'all, some of y'all around. And then they brought in dirt and different kinds of soil. And they had brought in some chemicals and stuff, and that big old sheep foot deal would run back and forth over it, and until this, it was as hard as concrete. But then we drilled holes because we had to, this place, I don't know how many piers this place has got under it, but it's a bunch, I can tell you that right now. And we drilled down, and some of the engineers were saying, oh, yeah, that brown shale, it's really tough. It'll be good here. But Mr. Harrison, and we had used him for other buildings, he said, I'll do it, but I'm going to drill to get the blue shale. That there is a pillar back there that metal, huge. I mean, that deal going up in the air, it laying on the ground, I could stand here on this lip and still have to reach up to touch this one. That's how wide that thing is. And it sits on that pier. That pier is about 60 feet deep, and it's 6 foot in diameter, and it's got a cage, they call it, of rebar that's built like that. It goes down 60 feet. I watch them put it in there, and then the concrete went in down there. I mean, that thing is solid. We got another one just like that over there, and another one just like that over there. Somebody said, how do you know so much? I was out here walking around this on this piece of ground when they were doing all the construction. I was here every day checking it out. I'd bring the staff out here and the pulpit. What used to be back here, we built this on, and I'd stand right here. There's nothing out here but the ground right now. I mean, that pad that they built. And then they started drilling those holes. And I said, this is the pulpit, guys. They're right behind the choir behind you. There's a congregation out here. The balcony's up there. I stand here, and they'd look at her and say, yeah, yeah, But you see, I could see it before it ever became a reality. But I understood building. And you have to have the foundation. And this building has got a great foundation in it. And you can walk around it after 30-something years and you don't see any cracks or anything. That's because the foundation is so solid. What I'm telling you is, you can't just read a few scriptures and expect your house to stand when trouble comes. You've got to build a firm foundation of the Word of God into your life daily. Not just grab a, read a precious promise and run out the door. Y'all young people don't know about that. How many of you know about the precious promise box that used to sit on the table? Anybody? We had one, but we used it too, but we read the Word. But anybody have a precious promise box set on the, ours set on the kitchen table? And, you know, but that's all some people do. They grab one of them precious promises and read it and run out the door. You know, it's just a little excerpt from the Word. Most of the time they were from Psalms somewhere. But you've got to develop a foundation that will stand in the time of trouble. Isn't that what that scripture said we just read? Huh? You still there? You gone home? Some of you already went to get something to eat, haven't you? Have you ever run into somebody that every time they encounter any kind of setback or trouble or anything, they say, "Why me?" Anybody ever met somebody like that? You know, the devil really likes that, because now he's got you on the ropes, because he'll start to tell you all kinds of things, and he can start condemning you and saying, "Yeah, you just not living right," and all kinds of stuff. You see, if you're prepared and doing what the Word says, then you don't ever ask that question, because the Word of God has already told you that you are going to encounter problems, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if you're in Him, you're an overcomer. Have you ever seen people, I have through my lifetime, that they play dodgeball trying to stay out of trouble? They spend all their money and all their resources and everything else trying to avoid trouble. Now, I don't know how they play, but I hear them talking about dodgeball today, but I don't know how they play dodgeball today, but in PE class, we played dodgeball. And I think they got balls that are special, but these, we used a volleyball. And I'll tell you what, in that gym class, and you got the whole gym, and it was every man for himself. Anybody ever played that? Well, sometimes you're dodging and, you know, and trying to keep from getting hit. But you know, sometimes a bunch of us, there's some guy that, well, back when I was in junior high school, you could get these little, looked like the bombs that they used back in World War II, and you unscrew it and you put the cap in there and it had a deal, and you could throw it, and when that deal would hit, it would pop that cap. Well, Miss Cope, our English teacher, our history teacher, she was writing on the board, and old John, I won't call his last name because he might even be listening, I don't know. He threw his thing, and it hit blackboard. We didn't have grease boards, we had blackboards. Blackboard was a white chalk. Anybody old enough to remember that? and it hit right beside of her and exploded, and it caused a problem. Well, Coach Finley heard about it. That's a football coach. Was he still there when you was in junior high, Coach Finley? So we get to PE class, because back in that day, if you had athletics, your PE class was the last period of the day, and if you were playing athletics, you went out to your practice. Otherwise, you went to the gym and the coach there, because everybody in there is in athletics, and the coach there worked the fire out of you just to keep you in shape. I don't know how many times I've had to run the bleachers in the gym and run laps around the gym. And he lined all of us up. And we all, the whole class got, because nobody would tell who did it, our whole class got, all the guys, all of us got 3 licks. Now, in them days, we wore white shorts. You had to have these white, real thin shorts. I don't know, anybody know what I'm talking about? I got anybody. Oh, I see a couple of hands. Yeah. So the next day we had dodgeball. And I want to tell you what. John got beat to death. Because everybody was throwing hard as they could and hitting him in the head. Anywhere you could hit him, you hit him. And after class, Coach Finley said, "Now I know who did it." But you see, sometimes people work harder at trying to stay out of trouble and avoid it than they would if they'd just face it with the Word of God and overcome it. That's how I got off on that. Y'all didn't realize that, did you? Remember I was talking about people playing dodgeball with trouble? That's the way we got off on that. Y'all didn't even remember that. I had to remind you about it. Now, it's possible to walk victoriously over trouble. Now, obtaining trouble has to do with both sides, natural and spiritual. Okay? Natural and spiritual. There's a fellow that I know real, really well, says, "You bring the natural and the supernatural together, and it makes an explosive force for God." Anybody know that fella? It's me. Thank you, Carl. I don't know where I got that or when I got it. It just came to me one day years ago, but it's true. It's not all natural and it's not all spiritual, but you got it because we are a natural person living a natural life, but we are a spiritual person living a spiritual life at the same time. That's why I say you got natural and spiritual. All right, some spiritual things that we do to be victorious over trouble is remember God is always for you. He's there to help you out of your trouble. And of course, we all know this, Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Just remember, God is for you. He's not against you. He's not bringing the trouble. He's wanting to help you out of it. You know, another thing we have to do is resist worry and fear of trouble, failure. And of course, we look at 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, a love, and a sound mind. Okay? Another thing we have to do and is to maintain a good attitude and walk in love. That will close the door on the enemy. You know, of course, look at first, we got to go to 1 Corinthians for that one. 1 Corinthians 13, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, there thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears up under all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, love never fails. Now, maintaining a good attitude and walking in love has to do with everything I talked about right here in the scripture. All right? Now, another thing we've got to do is to open our mouth. Speak to the trouble that you're facing. I don't care whether it's big or small or in between. You got to open your mouth and speak to it. And, of course, you know where I'm going right now. Mark 11:23, for sure, they're saying to you, whoever says this mountain be removed, be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, man, how's it going? Oh, I'm just having so much trouble. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know what? They just added fuel to the fire. Instead of speaking directly to the trouble, they're talking about how much trouble I have. I don't know how I'm going to make it. Say, hey, I'm doing good. Be positive. I grew up in the house of a man that always said, always maintain a positive attitude and always speak positively. You know, we have to maintain our confession positively. Don't let negativity come out of your mouth. Hebrews 20:23, we know this. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Then, have you ever noticed trouble comes and goes, trouble comes and goes, trouble, it never stays. And that's what 2 Corinthians 4:17 tells us. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. You see, we got to remember that when we stand and do what God has told us to do, we may be in this situation, but it's temporary because the things of God are permanent. It has to go. James says, resist who? The devil, and he will flee. F-L-E-E. You ever look that up in the dictionary? One of the definitions is run from as in terror. Hello? Then another thing we have to do is stand our ground. After having done all, stand. How do we do that? Ephesians 5:13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be withstand in the evil days, and having done all, to stand. You know, dig your heels in the ground and say, that's it. You ever played tug of war? Well, you always get the biggest guy that you can get on the end of the line and he digs his heels in and holds everything. Listen, we don't have to be pulled into trouble. We can pull back from the trouble because we got Jesus, our anchor man, on the end of the rope down there. I got a sermon I preached sometime. I hadn't preached it a long time. Who's holding your rope? Now, that's just some natural, that's just some spiritual things that we can do. But listen, we're a natural person in a natural world. And sometimes, like I said, we cause our own problem. So in the natural, the first thing we've got to do is get rid of all of our excuses. Quit blaming it on, if it wasn't for this, if it wasn't for that, if it wasn't for this, I wouldn't be in this mess. Well, most of the time it's because you messed up, is what's happened. Then we've got to quit blaming our upbringing. Hello. And then another thing that happens, there's just no opportunities. I think many people are in that place right now hollering, there are no opportunities, and everywhere I look, it says we're hiring. Now, I'm not against the homeless. I realize some of them really do need, and I wish there was a way you could tell who's really out there in trouble and who's not. Come on. One day, it's been years ago now, Lynette and I were going home. This was many years ago, there was a car parked by an intersection, had some kids sitting on the hood of the car, and a man was standing out there and said, need groceries. I told him, I said, listen, you stay right here. I'm going to call, and they're going to bring you groceries right here to you. You just stay here. I called, and I got here the week here, and I told him, bring about four sacks of groceries. And they got in the car, they drove there. When they got there, the man was gone. Hello. But you see, we got to realize that you don't have to be out of work. There's hiring everywhere. Come on now, don't look at me like that. Now, you're not compassionate. Yeah, I'm compassionate, but I'm telling you what. There was an article in the paper, it's been about 15 years ago now, I guess, 10. Lynette read it in the paper. They interviewed a homeless man, and they said, why don't you work? And he said, what do I need to work for when I can earn $60,000 a year doing this? This is several years ago. That's the attitude of some people, Hey, but some people bringing everything on the, and then they got the victim mentality. The world owes me something. I wasn't born like you was, have a silver spoon in your mouth. That's what a person told me that. It's been a while back now. I looked at them and I said, where were you when we eat beans and cornbread every day? That's what our meal was. You see, some people stay there. You don't have to stay there. How many of you have been there, but you've overcome by the word of God? Amen? Come on. Now, one thing in the natural that hinders people is they continue looking back. There's nothing for you back there. Your victory's in front of you. And then there's another thing. It's called the disease of comparisonitis. And many people are dying from the disease of comparisonitis. they're comparing themselves to somebody else and say, I can't ever get there, so I might well not do nothing. Hey, they didn't get there where they're at because they didn't do anything. They worked hard. Hello? I didn't play on the starting lineup in sports because I said, well, I'm not as good as so-and-so, so I might as well not even try. No, I went out there and I had the attitude, I'm gonna beat you out. I'm gonna play. And I gave it 100% every time. In practice, on the field, I never played a sport. I've never preached without giving it everything I had. Somebody said it wasn't very much. I said, well, at least it was what I had. I had a coach tell me one time, Hagin, you know why you play? I said, no, I don't know why I play. He said, because I can depend on you to give me 100% every time you step on that field. I can't, that so-and-so over there is better, got a little more talent than you do, but I can't depend on him. Hello. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. God doesn't compare you with anybody but you. You. What you say. And then another thing, and I better quit, is once you make a decision, don't second guess yourself. But look at that situation from every angle and then make a decision and be willing to live with that decision. I was told that years and years ago, and that's what I still do. Another thing you need to know your limits. Everybody has limits. I don't care who you are. Also, your words and your attitude must line up with your actions. Don't flip-flop. Oh, you know, this way one day and this another way the other day. I've run into people. One day you see them there, hallelujah, praise God, I got the victory. Next day I saw them. What's the matter? I don't know what I'm going to do. You see, they flip-flop. Ain't no way you're going to get anything doing that. There's something else you can do in the natural. And all of us are guilty of this at times. I've been guilty of it. If you really don't know how to do something, hire a professional that does. 9 times out of 10, you will mess it up more. And then you'll have to call them and it'll cost you twice as much. I must have a lot of help. I must have a lot of people that have been there with me. I've just talked to you today talking about things that we really face in life, trouble. But we face it, we can face it with our spiritual and we can face it with our natural things that we do and we can come out on top every time. God is faithful to perform his word. Psalms 34:17. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Hallelujah. Stand up and praise God right now because we don't have to live with trouble. Trouble may come, but trouble has to go. It can't stay. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Anybody get anything out of this morning? Hallelujah. You know, probably the majority of us in this place know Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. But if you happen to be here and do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then we want you to know him before you leave here today. Or you might be here and say, hey, I know what it is to walk with God, but I have got off course and detoured, and I need to come back and rededicate my life. I want to pray with you, but I can't do that if I don't know who you are. So I'm just going to simply ask you to raise your hand, saying, hey, I want you to pray with me. Anybody in the room, anywhere, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere, you need Christ, you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Right now, we are waiting, because everybody in here that's born again Christian is for you and not against you, so you don't have to be embarrassed. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise God. I don't see any hands. Thank God. Raise your hands and thank God that you have Him and that you are an overcomer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You got something, Dan?
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust a sweetest friend, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ the Son.
That's an old hymn we used to sing a lot. That's what we talked about, the solid building our lives on a good foundation so that we can overcome. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, connection team, if there was a first-time guest here, go find them and take them to the back to receive a special gift. Staff, would y'all go to the door so we can shake hands with you? As soon as I get through shaking hands and run and grab a bite to eat, I'm on the plane, and we're headed to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. The bus is already there with the team, and the rest, Anthony and the rest of us will be on the plane flying up there. We'll be there at Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. Then on Wednesday, we go down to Omaha, Nebraska, and we'll be there Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and then fly home after service on Friday night. Pray for us and the conference team as we're out there, our Living Faith conferences. So they're going to sing a little song. Let me get down the aisle, because I'm going to that north door up there. So I'll go barreling down that aisle. They'll dismiss you at the end of the song tonight, 6 o'clock, be here. I'll be in South Dakota, but one somebody will be here to preach. And you pray for us, okay? God bless. We'll see you next Sunday.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is there.